Dear Venerable Brothers, Dhamma friends, so we are going to start the Tuesday English Dhamma discussion. Most probably Bhante Dhammajiva also might connect from Nathagini. So till he will join, we will continue the discussion. So we were discussing Suttanipata, Parayana Magga, one of the very interesting areas of Dhamma. Actually, during the Buddha's early period, so this incidents have happened, and interesting thing is later during his Buddhahood, he refers these stanzas, he refers the Dhamma teachings he himself has delivered to various ascetics, and therefore we can understand so how profound and how important these Dhamma teachings are, and particularly these were taught to fairly spiritually mature people. So therefore, later time, there are various other groups started coming in, and they are might not be matured like the previous groups. So therefore, sometimes Buddha refer these early teachings and explain, okay, this is why I have mentioned in this Parayana Magga to this particular ascetic, to this Brahmin, I have mentioned like this, so this is the exact meaning I have mentioned there. So likewise, Buddha started elaborating those verses to later time. But anyway, so these teachings are quite interesting and very concise. And sometimes each verse is just a few sentences, but it has a thorough or deeper meaning included therein, and it can elaborated in many different ways, and it may include a very depth of the Dhamma. So currently we were discussing Kappa Sutta. Kappa is another Brahmin ascetic who came to meet the Buddha. So the story, if I just recall, so there was one Brahmin called Bhavari. So he is the teacher, 120 years old, fairly respected teacher, and under him there were many students learning the meditation. So they are Brahmins. And among them, there were 16 students who are the most capable ones, and under them, there are the other ones are learning. So at one occasion, there was another Brahmin who came and sort of requested some money from Venerable Bhavari, and at that moment, Bhavari didn't have such amount of money. So he mentioned that I don't have that, but the other fellow, he simply made a curse that he's going to die if he's not going to give him money. So likewise, there was a fairly disturbed situation has happened to the Brahmin Bhavari, and he didn't have a solution. So at that time, there was a deity who came forward and instructed Bhavari to get some instructions from the Buddha. But that at that time, Bhavari didn't know that the Buddha has arisen. And then he asked, where is he? Where is the Buddha? And the deity has given instructions. Okay, he's in the, I think, Rajagaha, and now Bhavari himself can't approach there because he's fairly old. So he requested his brilliant students, 16 students, to visit there and meet the Buddha. And he has given the criteria to verify he is the true Buddha, the real Buddha, by seeing all the different marks available in the Buddha's body. 32 marks particularly, and then these ascetics go meet the Buddha, and they verify all the marks, and they understood, yes, they are there. So he is the real Buddha, he is the true Buddha. And again, now the questions are asked using their minds. So Buddha has to read their minds and understand those questions, and then he supposed to answer the questions through words. So now everyone can hear. So this is how the whole conversation has happened. And last week, we started discussing Kappa Sutta, Kappa Manava Sutta. So these are the questions. If I just give a briefing of the Kappa Sutta. Majje sarasming tittatang, oge jate mahabbaye, jara machu paretanang, deepam pabruhi marisa. Tancha me deepam akkahi, yathaidang naparasya. So he is mentioning that, Bhante, there are many people now, very much like in the middle of floods, and those are quite fearful. these floods are quite fearful, so indicating that floods of defilements. So floods here means the four different kinds of defilements, streams of defilements, and to which actually many people are being subjected to, and they are quite helpless, and they are continuously get on to decaying, death, again coming to the rebirth, again going through various diseases, going to aging process, decaying, and again death, again coming to the birth. So likewise, it's an endless cycle they are going through, huge amount of suffering. So could you tell me a solution who are going through all these floods? So this is the request made by Venerable Kappa. Now Buddha is going to give a sort of an answer. Majje sarasming titatang oge jate mahabbaye jara macchu paretanang deepam pabrumi kappati. So I am going to tell you, so what is the solution for this this kind of a situation. So Buddha now going to tell the solution. Akinchanang anadanang etang deepang anaparang nibbanamiti tambrumi jara macchu parikkhaya. So this is the answer given by the Buddha. very short answer indicating nibbana, simple as that. Akinchanang anadanang, so the mindset of the person has to be with nothing. So mind has to be completely empty, no possessions, no belongings. So mind has no attachments, no any kind of perceptions. It has to be completely unconditioned. Anadanang, and it doesn't have any kind of an attachment. It doesn't have any kind of a grasping. It doesn't have to have any kind of a grasping. If one has have this kind of a mentality, this kind of a state of mentality, then etan deepang anaparang, and this is the island, nothing else. Nibbana miti tambrumi jara macchu parikkha. So I call it Nibbana, and while you are being there is no any kind of decaying, there is no any kind of aging, and you can actually win the death. So this is the deathless state of mind. There is no coming and going, there is no attachments, there is no any tension, stress, or any movements, any kind of agitation in the mind, complete calmness, complete stillness, peacefulness. Okay, this is the end of suffering. So this is what actually last week we discussed. And so you can see, I mean, just using one verse, Buddha has given the state of Nibbana. So that's why we need to understand. So these verses available in the Parayana Vagga are very, very brief, but it has extremely deeper meaning. There are so many verses, so many stanzas, so many passages are explained in various other suttas to explain one of these states. Now, say for example, to explain Nibbana, the state of Nibbana, Katurunda Jnananda Thero has given 33 sermons while in Nisarnane to explain Nibbana. But here, Buddha has given just one simple verse to explain Nibbana. So likewise, we can see, I mean, we have to understand the depth. So here Buddha is giving just a simple verse. We can't say it's a simple, but a very short verse. But it emphasizes the state of the Nibbana. So how one has to maintain that state of Nibbana. So then there is no any kind of a suffering. So this is the end of suffering. This is the way that one can overcome all different kinds of defilements. And so this is what we have discussed last time. Okay, let me add a little bit to this. There's a very interesting sutta called Chabbisodhana Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. So the idea is when someone becomes an arahant, and so someone can come and verify, ask various questions from him, to recognize what is the exact path he has taken. So there, I will take one part of it, and there one question asked from him is that how he operated with respect to the seen, how he operated with respect to heard, how he has operated with respect to sensed, that means through the nose, through the tongue, through the body, how he has operated. And then with respect to various mental objects coming to the mind, how he has went through. Because this is how we are dealing with the whole world. Our eyes, we can see things. Through our ears, we can listen, hear. Through the nose, we can sense various odors. Through the tongue, we can recognize various tastes. And through the body, we can recognize various tangibles. And of course, there are various thoughts coming to the mind. So this is how we are living. So how are you going to operate in order to overcome all the defilements? And what is the method that you have taken so that you are going to be free from all the defilements? So this is what he has mentioned. The question is, and the interesting answer given is something that we can understand or rather connect with the verse that Buddha has given. So in this Chambisodhana Sutta, Buddha himself is telling, okay, this is how one has to answer. This is how the proper answer, the correct answer, correct way of approach. Ditteko aham auso, anupayo anapayo, anissito appatibaddo, vippamutto visangyutto, vimariyadi kathena chetasa viharami. Similarly, he explained about the Sutta, Mutta and Vinyata. So let me explain this Ditta first. Ditteko aham auso anupayo anapayo anissito appatibaddo vippamutto visangyutto vimariyadi kathena chetasa viharami. So ditteko auso, that means with respect to all the different kinds of scenes, how did I work out? Anupayo, I didn't have any attraction towards them, didn't allow the mind to get really attracted towards them. Then anapayo, I didn't allow the mind to get immediate repulse from that. Then anissito, I have no association with them. Mind was kept completely unassociated. Anissito. Appatibaddo, without any kind of a bondage. Vippamutto, completely freed. Visangyutto, not tangled with it. Vimariyadi katena chetasa. So the mind has no boundary. So this is how, with respect to seeing, I have kept the mind. Same exact methodology is explained with respect to the herd. Suteko ahang auso, anupayo, anapayo, anisito, appatibaddo, vipamutto, visangyutto, imariyadi kateni chetasa viharami. Assume that you are hearing something, hearing a song, a beautiful song. So typically what happens is our mind get attracted to that, isn't it? So it's a really beautiful song, it's a old song which I really liked. I have heard that during my youth, and I was so fond of that, and it's a so beautiful song, and this, after a long time I am hearing it. So you start thinking about it, imagining about it, and how you played that, how you prepared that, how you sang that. So all thoughts may come to your mind. So that means you are involved now. You are lost. You are into thinking. You are into even proliferation. You are into memorizing all that what you did with respect to that sound, with respect to that song. That means I have lost my peacefulness. Assume that the mind was completely peaceful, the mind was completely unattached, but now it is attached. Now it has found it is interesting, it has found it is something important. So that's why you being attracted to that, and now you are involved. You couldn't maintain the balance, isn't it? On the other hand, say someone is blaming you. Immediately you want to get out of the situation. I don't want to be with you. I am going away. Go to hell. So I am blaming him. I am attacking him. Or I am running away from him because I want to be free from this whatever the going on. I am completely disturbed by this abusing speech, malicious kind of a speech, hateful speech. I am completely, disturbed. Then the repulsion is there. Anupayo, anapayo. So that is how typically we get involved by having kind of a grudge, repulsion, or hate, or distraction, because I am now disturbed by what I have heard. In the previous case, I am attracted. In this case, I want to get out of it quickly. I am rejecting it. I am repulsed about it. Now, how to maintain a balance? Yeah. Can you give the thing? Yeah.
If you are attracted to that song, say that was my favorite song. Mm. So You are attracted only for just a small while. Now you are listening to this song.
Mm.
Not to say listening, you heard it.
Correct.
And now for just about 10-15 seconds, just a small fraction.
Mm-hmm.
So is that attachment or something now?
This thing. So if you lost your balance, even for a short period, so that means a little bit of pramad.
Ah.
You know, a little bit. It may not be a long term and complete being lost. Say, there's a potential. You had a kind of a interest, so that's why you are little interested about that particular song. That's why you turn your head and you turn your ear and want to. And then, Swami Nansa, we can hear you.
Yeah, that I heard your description and the question, yeah. And therefore I thought of sharing my experience. Dhammaji Vahamto speaking from Wayambe. And when I was a young man, I had all kind of attraction and I was proliferating them. And I was an inspired undergraduate. But my teacher told, do everything with mindfulness and then mindfulness will take care. In short, then I was not aware about mindfulness. They gave a definition, choiceless awareness. Usual mindfulness, we have a Theravada interpretation, be here and now, and be in the present moment, non-reaction, all the kind of thing. But Ken Wilber introduced that in the book called No Boundary, Choiceless Awareness. And that was a favorite topic when we were in Nilambe, Talaha. And it gave me a kind of a starting point. So I was doing all the dirty things, all the bad things. But I was knowing it is not something to hide. I am doing it. And I am reporting to my teacher all the bad and the goods. And then ultimately I found that anything I am doing knowingly is different from doing unknowingly. Doing knowingly may be willful or non-willful, no matter. But ultimately you start accounting, you start bookkeeping. When it's happening 6 years, 7 years, I got a chance to sit with Munindraji from India. He also prescribed almost the same. And I found even though I am doing bad things, there's nothing related to mindfulness. You can be mindful. So I got so much of confidence. I thought of I will sacrifice my whole life, full-time mindfulness. Then my teacher told, don't rush. If you are going to ordain, tomorrow you will disrobe. Because you are a dynamic man. So therefore, as a layperson, together with multitasking, practice choiceless awareness. So I was dealing with the Norwegian delegation. No one known about mindfulness, but it is nothing to advertise. I was mindful and practicing. There were some mishaps in my job, so it happened me to quit. I became a monk. And now I am doing multitasking. Therefore, everything can happen, but I am accountable, I am telling Sangha or the monks, these are the things happen today, knowingly or unknowingly, but I try to keep mindfulness intact. Then that is the Bhavari's disciple got the answer from the Buddha, don't label them, let them happen. If anything wrong happen, take the pardon from the party involved, don't accuse yourself. This is the curse for the today world. That's why what you call tension and the frustration. You are accusing yourself. You have no sympathy for yourself. You have no accounting for yourself. You have no bookkeeping for yourself. You have no true Dhamma friends for yourself. So therefore your judgments also just like you are seeing and hearing. So just maybe 5 minutes a day, forget about listening, hearing, seeing, and just see the live stream, the breath, oh, here I am, and then account for. Have a counting. Then you will understand what an easy task. I'm saying it is not so easy, but it is possible. It is a potential. It's a human birthright. Be aware. Don't worry about the good and the bad. That can be sorted out later with the help of the mind obsessed with the good and bad. If you are not here, if you are not simple, if you are not humble, then what will happen is you are self-accusing. All the friends I am meeting today, they are always self-accusing. So nothing to worry, they are finding fault with others. It is not their mistake because they are not mindful. So therefore, whatever the thing happened, don't label them. Be non-judgmental as much as possible. And allocate 5-10 minutes per day just for walking up and down, knowing that you are walking. Sit and try to be with the breath little bit. Then you will understand your life is worth. Otherwise, you are in a dream. You are not living. So that is what I have to contribute. I would like to join the meeting and wish to know others' ideas.
You need to, okay. You got the answer. Okay, fine. So as Bhante mentioned, so so basically when we are mindful, so basically at least we are not totally trapped. So yes, we know now there is a song. Now I know that there's an attraction also, but I am not allowing my mind to completely get involved there, completely indulge in there, but rather I am aware now there's a desire arising, now a little bit of attraction. So I mean, this is what we need to start with. Otherwise, what happens is this object, whatever the this attractive sound at the moment, maybe a song at the moment, completely take us into it, absorb to it, and swallow it. So basically, we are becoming complete slaves to that. So I am now thinking about my past and imagining how I deal with and all that. So that means I am completely lost. So the mindfulness is the solution where we can have, so that to at least we can see what's really going on. So then only we can come up with a kind of a thorough answer to overcome that, to avoid that. So that ultimately I can recognize the desires arising in the mind, the attraction happening in the mind. So likewise, we are continuing. So anyway, now here we are talking fairly advanced state, how Narahant has achieved it. So basically, he was capable of maintaining a mindset which is completely unattached with respect to the sounds, with respect to the scenes. So there is no attraction and there is no repulsion either. So these are both sides are not there. I mean, actually, this is not the only sutta which is explained by the Buddha. Now, very popular one is the Baddhekaratta Sutta. You know that the last couple of weeks we discussed that in the Singhala Dhamma discussion, Uttaritara Sudakalava, written by Katukunda Thero, Ideal Solitude, the English translation, English book. So they are Asanghirang Asankuppang. So Sanghirati means that you being attracted. Kuppati means you being repulsed and you being frustrated, you being unhappy, you being agitated. So that is the Kuppati. So Asanghira means you are not being attracted. Asankuppam means you are not being, repulsed. You are not being agitated. So for the typical scenario is for a favorable, attractive thing, we get attracted, we being attached, we being completely absorbed, we being involved. On the other hand, for an unfavorable type of situation, we get repulsed and we being agitated and we being upset and, kind of the opposite happens. So with respect to both these scenarios, are we capable of maintaining an equanimous mind? So that's the challenge. So that equanimity is not a mere willful equanimity. Someone can willfully, forcefully, you can force your mind. Okay, don't get attached. Okay, don't get repulsed. I'm just using my willpower, using a lot of effort. I'm trying to maintain the mentality. So that is one possibility, but that is not the exact solution that Buddha answered. So rather, he allow us to see the true nature of these things. So that is where the vipassana comes to the picture, where you have a fair amount of concentration, mindfulness. So with that mindfulness and concentration, you are asked to recognize all these different phenomena, their true nature. So that gives us thorough understanding about their true nature. Then slowly, slowly, mind recognize, I mean, no point of attaching to these things. There is nothing essential, nothing substantial here. There is nothing important here. There is no any inner core. There is no self here. So that thorough understanding makes the mind more relaxed. You know, I mean, if I find it very interesting, very attractive, very something very important, there is something substantial there, then only I am being attracted or repulsed from that because I have given unnecessary emphasis to that. But through vipassana, one may understand, okay, nothing substantial there. There's just mere emptiness. So I am the one has given previously, because of my ignorance, that I have appropriated kind of a unnecessary importance to that. So more you understand that your contribution, and then you stop that. You stop fabricating the whole situation, and you simply minimize your fabrication and stop all these sanskara, all these fabrications, all these contributions coming from your side. Then slowly, slowly, the things become dismantled. So they become untangled. And then the situation may be quite easier for you to maintain the mind fairly peaceful. So then there may be a situation that you are not being attracted, you are not being repulsed, but you are very much maintaining a mind equanimous, not merely by effort or will, but because the wisdom is giving enough support. So now that has to be maximized. You may be able to do that for a simple thing. Now say, for example, it is not a beautiful song, but someone else is talking to someone. That's a, you know, it's something not much related to me, so you can maintain your peacefulness. Say, someone is not blaming to you, but, you know, that's a minor thing. Still, you may be able to maintain peacefulness. But still may be difficult when someone is blaming you. It may be still difficult when a beautiful song is sung, because still it may be attractive. So likewise, we have to season our practice, enhance our practice, even for these kinds of very beautiful sound, are we able to maintain this equanimity? Even for something abusive, are we able to maintain the mind unattached, undisturbed? So those are the areas that we have to mature ourselves. So just to give a simple example, now say there's a beautiful woman or a kind of an old woman. So when we see an old woman, probably we might not get attracted. But a beautiful woman, we might get attracted. So that means still there may be various objects which can penetrate. So we might lose our balance. So that is where we have to slowly, slowly mature ourselves. How to maintain a kind of equanimity even for these kind of more attractive or completely repulsive objects. Something like that. So that is the practice that we have to continue. So more and more we mature, even for those kind of extreme situations, we should be able to safeguard the mind, balance the mind. Yeah, you can give.
Now, regarding this beautiful woman, Bhante.
Yeah.
I was coming here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So the train was a little bit crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And just a gentleman stood and he gave me his seat. So the
next to you,
next to me was a beautiful girl, you know, but I saw her.
Right.
But this gentleman stood up, yeah, and gave me his seat.
Mm-hmm.
So now my mind is a little bit, you know, a bit shaky now.
Right.
So I sat down anyway.
You being attracted?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I have been attracted
right.
This age, you know, still.
Yes, yes,
I think
yes.
The girl was about 20, 25 or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And she had all the features, long hair and...
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, I sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I go by train or by bus, I still can be on Anapanasati.
Right.
But the sati was kale and it was so something like this happened. Yeah. So how to handle a situation like
that's
this?
That's the thing. So that's the thing. And the mindfulness is a solution. So
mindfulness.
I mean, if you saw that how maybe lustful thoughts are arising and that situation and how you feel a little interested, how you feel a little excited while you are sitting next to her. So those are the things that we have to honestly recognize. So without recognition, I mean, we if we simply trying to suppress thing, then we never going to give a solution. So definitely we have to recognize, okay, still even though I am practicing, even though I am an old person right now, still the lustful characteristics are available in my mind. So whoever, if she is a beautiful girl, then still I have some feelings, certain attraction, certain kind of an excitement happening in my mind. Mind get little agitated. So because of this situation, so that means further I need to work out. So some more work to do. So likewise, I mean, these are the true scenarios helping us to understand where we are. Otherwise we think, no, otherwise we simply assume that I am so and so, I am so beautiful, so advanced, I don't have lust and I don't have hatred, so we can assume ourselves. But these kind of scenarios help us to understand, no, you still have lust, you still have excitement, you still are possible to get disturbed. So these situations help us to understand our true scenario. Yeah.
And on top of everything, she leaned against me and she slept.
Probably so, she might think that you are very much like her father.
Or something like that. Yeah. Could be, but yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway.
That's the thing.
Yeah, so these things happen, you know. I just thought when I get old, you know, these things might go and it's all right. No, it's still coming.
Correct. That's the thing. So we need to work out. So we need to recognize the lust. We need to recognize anger and all this. And then slowly, without promoting that, without fertilizing that, we need to slowly abandon that. Yeah. So basically, cittanupassana. Simply cittanupassana, you know, you cittanupassana, where you are being aware of your thoughts, not promoting them, not fertilizing them, not feeding them. And you recognize and simply allow them to calm down. Allowing them to calm down. So that's why Anisito up.
I was listening and how was the scenario was, but you have already handled it. That is why you thought of presenting to a discussion. Otherwise, you would have felt guilty and depressed. And of course, you felt. But you are in a position like a diplomat to present it to a discussion like that. And that is not to promote or that is not to hinder something. So that's the first and foremost step because you are already secured. But still, it is not well digested because that you may think even by having that kind of a thought, you are disturbing precepts or you are you have done something not done. So these things are human. But the thing people don't think that is something shareable, that is something worth presenting to a discussion, but I am telling exactly that is what we have to do. That is what we have the Buddha Sasana. We can discuss and then, as Venerable Chandaratana is explaining, you can digest slowly in future and what is the lust, what's the desire, what's the compassion, and how was I was digestion. And these things we call digestion. So this is what the discussion means. The Buddha has given enough tool. First thing is to be aware that I am such a vulnerable person, even in a ride. So when it has happened, if the thing is covered with the mindfulness, I am telling with whole confidence, you are secured. So therefore, you have to keep them in writing. I call it is journal. I call it is bookkeeping. And then imagine that you are going to have the same thing next time. It will never happen. There you can laugh at it because you have your journal, you have tackled it. So likewise, we are maturing and when that happened also, you have to report, to share with us. And then your experience become my experience. And that's a kind of a generosity in Dhamma. So therefore, let that happen. Of course, same thing will never happen. But when such thing happen, only we know whether we are really implementing our mindfulness or we are for the just sake of theory. So therefore, these experiences, I'm very happy if that beautiful girl also in the discussion, if that man gave the seat also in the discussion, then we call mindful family because we are good people at the end. At the halfway, we are concerned about the ethics, we are concerned about the social well-being, we are concerned about the good and the bad, but we are not qualified to do that. When it is happening 2-3 events and still you are mindful, then you understand your last mistake was a gross. Never mind, that opened the door. And when it is happening again and again, I know it is not happening, but for the sake of theory, when you can understand, without that kind of a training, that kind of a, we call restraint, how one can give advice to others? Because other person have no. He has no that kind of experience. So therefore, you become a guru. You can explain it and wait any time that can happen in a different modes. When it's happening, see how today's discussion and your real experience guide you to make human, not to find the fault with you, not to accuse someone, not to expect pedantic world, but this is the world. So therefore, I am very happy that you have shared. Otherwise, it would have gone for psychological wounds. But in the discussion, we let the psychological wounds to surface. And that is what you call counseling. That's what you call free association with other person or with mindfulness you can do. I thought of sharing that part with you. Thank you.
Excuse me, Bhante. This is Dhammavijita.
Dhammajiva. Dhammavijita, yes, please.
Yes, excuse me, Bhante. So I just wondered, so you had this situation, this young girl sat next to you, and did you practice with that? Did you try to use mindfulness practice at that moment? And if you didn't, I guess, how did you react? I just wanted to say, if you didn't practice mindfulness, how might you practice mindfulness in the future when this happens with that situation?
Well, now I got the idea I have to be mindful in a case like this also.
How could you do that? How would you practice mindfulness in that situation?
Thank you. Good question, good answer.
Well, I have to think about it because how to practice mindfulness in a situation like this. Now, in other cases, you can just act, you know, like we call in Sinhalese rangapano. But here, you cannot, when repulsion or something like this, you can say, oh, yes, you are correct and things like that. But here, not. You are facing a real situation.
Did you notice any heat rising?
Well, not much, you know. But I really, really felt it because the girl slept leaning against me. So I really felt it.
Do you ask to lean? You didn't ask her to lean.
No, nobody.
Because, you know. This is what the lustful mind is.
When you travel in a train, you know, it's jerking and, you know. So this...
That is why you love trains.
Yes, Bhante, exactly, I have to do.
We are called lover's lane.
Lover's lane, yes.
Punchikoche. Now it is not there, otherwise people go to Avisavel.
Avisavel.
Go in Punchikoche. That's called lover's lane, lover's train.
When it is, you know, leaning from side to side, you get the...
You get burnt up.
Moment is a chance.
But I have left everything behind, my wife and everything behind. But now...
You're trapped in a girl.
Trapped.
unknown girl.
Unknown girl, yes.
Yes.
So that is how the Mara's trap is. It is everywhere, snare. So we have to be mindful, not only the temples and the walking paths and the sitting. So you have to be mindful, that is ever ready. And that is how Dhamma Vijayati is asking. how you are going to take this as a lesson for the next misapohap.
Yeah, I'll just take this one as a lesson. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not the first time this happened. This happened several times. No? Yes, only today I have reported.
Mm-hmm. This is not so the only person. You are not the only person this is happening, but they are not good topics for the Dhamma talks, but this is the real life experience.
Thank you.
It's really good that you shared it so that we are discussing it and what are the situations that we can use the Dhamma over there.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a living Dhamma. Because otherwise, you know, that we are practicing Dhamma only at the meditation hall is not the, you know, it's a very, very kind of an artificial kind of a situation. But these are the situations that we really need to apply the Dhamma.
And I'm also trying to hide something inside and just to pretend and this has not happened like...
No, exactly. So then we are not progressing.
No, not progressing. Progressing, yes.
But we can progress by listening people progressing.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Few more minutes are available. Probably we can get into the last verse of that sutta and we can complete that sutta. We left only the last verse undiscussed. So the last verse is going like this. Eta danyaya ye sata ditta dhamma bhi nibbuta nate mara vasanuga nate marasa paddha guti. So I invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to present the English translation.
Having understood this, those mindful ones are quenched in this very life. They do not come under Mara's control, nor are they Mara's footmen.
Mara's
footmen.
Footmen. Mm-hmm. So, etadanyaya yesata. So, having understood this scenario, ditta dhamma binibbuta. So, while in this very life, they have attained Nibbana. So, this ditta dhamma binibbuta is a really interesting word. So, sometimes, you know, after a person die, or simply say, okay, nivansuala beva. I mean, let him attain Nibbana, let him attain Nibbana. Give a meaning that he is going to attain Nibbana after the death. But here the ditta dhamma binibbuta represents, okay, he has attained Nibbana, he enjoying Nibbana in this right now, the present life, while living. Ditta dhamma binibbuta. Nate mara vasanuga, nate marasa paddhaguti. So they are not coming under the influence of mara, and they are not under the, what's that, the last word? Foot. What's that? Can you repeat the translation?
Yes, Bhante. Having understood this, those mindful ones are quenched in this very life. They do not come under Mara's control, nor are they Mara's footmen.
Yeah, so they are not coming under the Mara's control, and they are not with the Mara's footmen. So basically, so that means they are free from the Mara. So Mara couldn't influence them. So they were able to maintain a situation, a mindset, where the, as Bhante Dhammajiva mentioned just now, so they are the Mara. You know, while you are coming from home, leaving your wife, leaving your children, leaving your belongings, so still Mara is there for you to trap. So maybe as a way of giving an opportunity to get involved with another girl. Even though you have done a great renunciation, on the way to monastery, you being trapped. See the situation, isn't it? So you are capable of leaving everything aside, but on the way, you're being caught. On the way, now you express that, you simply being able to, you know, handle that situation somehow. That's a good thing. But there is a risk. On the way, you are coming to the monastery, say you're being trapped by the Mara. But here, the opposite is telling, so this wise person, the Arahant, who has practiced, who was able to maintain this proper mindset, so he is free from the Mara. He didn't go under the influence of Mara, and he, while living, he has attained Nibbana. So, ditta dhamma binibbuta. So, this word is very, very interesting. Ditta dhamma binibbuta. While here and now, he has attained Nibbana. So, typically, the wrong impression we have as Buddhist is that Nibbana is possible at the end of the death. That's entirely wrong perception. So, what we need to understand is, okay, while in this very life, maintaining a mind which is not burning, which is not frustrated, which is not depressed, or which is not stressed, So how a mind which is unagitated, completely unbounded, completely released, completely relaxed. So that mentality, that state of mind, we need to recognize, we need to, you know, maximize it. So that is something we need to make our home position of the mind. As much as possible, how to be there, isn't it? So that is the whole practice. We just mentioned that the Arahant has practiced in order to, you know, before he became fully enlightened. So that is the path he has taken. Anupayo, anapayo, anisito, appatibaddo, vipamutto, visangyutto, yumariyadikatin chetsa viharami. So powerful. he is maintaining a mind which is unattracted, unrepulsed. That means fairly balanced. And then anisito, no involvement with this scenario, with this whatever the object. His mind is completely unassociated. Anisito. Appatibaddo, there is no link between the object and it. You know, kind of a desire, kind of a linkage, kind of a interest. So there is no such kind of a link between the scenario. And then appatibaddo, vippamutto. That means freed. Mind is freed. Visangyutto, there is no defilements. And vimariyadikatena chetasa viharami. So that's another very interesting area. Vimariyadikatena chetasa viharami means your mind is not restricted. Your mind is completely unbounded. I mean, completely boundless. No boundary. Typically now as you given the example, now say you are interested about that girl. Then all of your attention is completely restricted, narrowed down, concentrated to that girl. So your perception, your consciousness become fairly bounded to that particular object, that particular scenario. So you don't have the vast experience, vast consciousness, vast awareness, but your awareness, your consciousness is fairly restricted, narrowed down to a particular object. You are interested about that object. So that's a bounded kind of a mentality. But here, vimariyadikatena chetasa viharami means, so mind has no such limit. Mind is completely unbounded, limitless, boundless, no boundary to the mind. So how to have such a mentality when things can be seen, things can be heard, things can be sensed, and things can be cognized. So this you can see how practical it is. I mean, these are not mere words, no. So we have to recognize during our meditation hall, fine. But the practice has to be on the train. Isn't it? I mean, those are the risky areas, no? I mean, we can do it while everyone is supporting, everyone is very silent. And then we can maintain this kind of a situation. But how about while going on the pitapath, while someone is blaming, while someone is criticizing, while someone is praising, you know, when someone is attractive. So these are the real exercises, we can say. These are the real exercises that we are gaining so that we can be further hardened that, you know, understanding. We can further thorough our understanding, reinforce our understanding. So these lifetime experiences are so necessary in that sense. Otherwise, we might think, okay, I am an arahant. I am an anagami because I have no lustful thoughts. I think that I may not have. But while I am going on the train, okay, still I may feel, oh my goodness, I am not an arahant. That's, I mean, makes us very humble to understand, okay, I am still not an arahant, I am not an anagami, still lustful thoughts are arising. But fortunately, I am aware of it now. I am not behaving like a fool as before. Isn't it? There may be now assume that instead of you, assume that the person next to her is a young boy. Then he may be quite interested and she want to touch her and, I mean, this and that, everything can happen. Because I mean, he couldn't maintain that situation. He was not aware of that situation. But now, I mean, probably you can tell that because you are, as Bhante mentioned, so you are able to understand, okay, this is the situation happening right now. My mind has a little interest. My mind has a little excited about this thing because she is now leaning to my shoulder and sleeping. So I am being, you know, have a little bit of excited mind. So you have noticed that. That's a good thing. Mm.
Now, ill will, I think I have gone beyond that.
No, we can't guarantee.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Now, when somebody says something or, you know, these repulsive things, I can just say, oh, yes, yes, that's correct.
Correct.
And, you know, but those days, you had to... Those things don't come.
Don't come. Hmm.
Don't come.
You're not reacting immediately.
No.
Correct.
You know, no matter you did it, you know. Mm. Sometimes I say it's not so good or something like that. And But most of the time I will say, oh, yes, that's correct. Mm. Yes, you should do that. And you know, a little bit of ragapam.
Correct.
But for the lust also,
thing is, even at that time, rather than you are trying to ragapam, you are trying to act. If you can recognize, I mean, even though I am Rangapanava, but still there is a little agitation going on because of his abusive tone.
Yes, yes.
So that is something that we need to notice. Uh-huh. Rather than rejecting it and trying to behave like a saint, yes. If I can understand, okay, still I am unhappy about what he's talking. You know, a little bit of frustration is there in the mind. I have a little bit of unhappiness in the mind, but I am not using filthy words to him. I have stopped talking to him badly, but still the mind has a little bit of an agitation, isn't it? So that is the one typically happens. No, people are not shouting, immediately reacting, immediately using abusive language or filthy words, but internally they are disturbed. So if we can recognize that disturbance happening inside, even though I am not reacting, but internally I have a little bit of burning. So that burning represents some amount of defilements in me. I have taken things personally. So there is someone blaming me and someone, I am also someone, very important person. How can he blame me? So this is how we develop the personality, no? So I am a very important person. I am a respectful person. So how are you going to attack me like this? So internally I am thinking like that. But I am not behaving, blaming him, and I am using nice words. But I may be burning inside.
Now this took long time, no, Bhante?
Yeah.
To give up this, these hateful things, you know, like ill will.
Hmm.
And gradually it decreased.
Correct. Yeah, that's the thing. So that's why, by seeing this, only it helps to decrease.
Yes.
But if we simply trying to, you know, cement it, if you simply trying to hide it, simply try to act like a saint, then we are not accepting it, no?
No. What I'm trying to tell is, now this in the last case, at times it will decrease,
right?
But suddenly it
increase.
Increase and rise up again.
That is where the tendencies are still available. You know that the lust, even though currently there is no lust, but the potential to develop lust again still available. That potential, that tendency is still available. That is why called the raga anuseya. Raga anuseya, anuseya. So raga anuseya means anuseya keles. So they are still. I haven't uprooted that totally. So that is where the risk. That is where the risk.
Right. Is there a way that I could uproot it?
That is what we are explaining. That is what we are talking right now.
Right.
So we need to understand when it is there, it is surface up.
Yes.
Now, rather than promoting it, let it slowly calm down. Let it slowly evaporate. Let it slowly disappear. Because if I promote it, only the anusaya gets strengthened.
I see.
Now, I am not allowing it to get strengthened. Rather, I am, slowly, like it's coming, like a vomiting. Say it came out, I am simply throwing it away. Rather than, promoting it. Then I am slowly getting healed. Something like that.
Hello.
Hey, my son, sir.
Good question, because I never thought discussion will go to that depth. But anyway, that we were talk about the raga and lust, and it is how it is wrath coming out as the pus, like a vomit, and that is what you call the transgression. And then before the vomitish feeling happens, sometimes you feel, but still you have not vomited out. That is what you call obsessional kind of defilement. That is what the discussion we went. We saw a beautiful thing and another person invited for something, and I restrained, went into the accept the second invitation, but still I feel the raga. But the girl may or may not, the person offered the seat may or may not, but you know. Now he is asking, this is therapeutic, this is healing, what about preventative? So preventative one is that you have to understand, I would have transgressed, but due to some of the qualities, some of the restraints, I have not. That is due to my own commitment. And now, not only that, my mind is so smart. It is asking, how about the prevention? Don't take it as into granted, because this is the way mind is proliferating. But still, there's a point. The Buddha says, or the common sense says, prevention is better than cure. So therefore, you have to understand under what circumstances you are getting exposed to this kind of uncontrollable situation. Of course, your mind is happy, body is happy. You are also subconsciously like it, but you can rationalize it. And the other thing is, when such a thing happen, you already taken the determination, at least I will try to be mindful. That is also something like a safeguard. And then you will restrain yourself in future not to get into that kind of atmosphere. And that is what you call livelihood. And that livelihood is not a hardwired circuit. It's a neuroplasticity. By few mistakes time, you will do. But I'm making this statement. Disciplinarian, moral people will not happy that you are trying with this kind of a thing, and you need this kind of events in time to happen. Go with mindfulness, and when situation develop, you yourself go out of it without the invitation of a second person. Then you understand kind of a wisdom training, not the wisdom restraint, not the moral restraint, but the concentration restraint, the wisdom restraint. When that is happening, whole world will fight against you. So the whole world is running behind lust, running behind beautiful girl. They consider this as a good omen, good luck. But I know this is a good luck. But good luck for Kelisas. So therefore, you restrain. And you are against you, your will is against you, the world is against you. But that is what you call heroic. And that vipassana restraint or panyasikha, no, never in our Buddhism. They are talking about the therapeutic. That in America, healing and therapy is called mindfulness-based stress reduction program. That they are not talking about how to not to arouse stress. I mean, good enough. America is talking at least, but it is for $550. It's a business Buddhism. So it was my thorough commitment. I am very weak in that sense to develop the Buddhism, completely volunteering, no money, no business Buddhism. Those who wish, we have the formula, but it is just not enough for your renunciation from household life. Not enough just your bare attention and mindfulness. You must mix clear comprehension into the mindfulness. That is called sati must go together with the sati sampajanya, panya. And don't ask anyone. There is not a single person on the earth to advise you. You are the teacher. You are the disciple. Mindfulness is the medicine. Clear comprehension is the booster dose. When these things are happening, I am inviting you to share with us, because that experience is not your personal one. This is Dhamma Parampara. Some chain of Dhamma, only this is happening. But the foolish world, they say, no, this time this is not possible. No, there is no such a restraint. It's an endowment. It's a birthright. Please give a try. And if you happen to be success, I invite you to share with us. That's all I thought of sharing, and I am going to leave the meeting.
Ehmai Swaminathan, I think we also hope to wind up the session, because now the time is up.
Yeah.
So then we'll wind up this session, and I will cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Vijitharu to share the merits.
Yes, and you may join in the traditional Pali verses, sharing merits with all beings.